Good morning, everyone. Welcome to church this morning. Great to see everyone here and such a lovely day here in Terrigal. Pretty wild singing session with the children just before. And today we are broadcasting to the wider church community. Welcome to all those people online out in Zoom land. Good to have you with us as well today. And so we're taking part in the spring series at the moment, which is looking at seeing God around us. And in this first segment, we're looking at God is light. And today, specifically, we're looking at colours in the Bible. So hopefully we'll find some colours in the Bible. I think there's one that comes to mind straight away, or one instance of colour that comes to mind straight away. So we'll talk about that a bit later on, but I think we've almost got a band ready. How are we going, band?
Yeah, thanks, Paul. I think we're pretty good. Do we have a bass player by any chance? Oh, yep, coming. Okay, cool. Well, if everyone would like to stand up, our first song for today is Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. Old one to start off with. Our second song for today is Oh Praise the Name. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Thank you. job, everyone. Our last song for today is How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Take a seat.
Thank you, band. Singing sounds lovely this morning. Certainly some nice songs to start off with. It's like a prayer, that last one, isn't it? Thanking Jesus for his sacrifice and what he did for us. Free us from that bondage that we were under. So as I said earlier, this morning we're continuing with the spring series, Seeing God Around Us. First section, God is Light, and we can see there that we're up to colours in the Bible. We've had light and darkness. Last week James spoke about the 12 gems, and that really leads on to today's study of colours in the Bible. I think it's quite an amazing thing in God's creation is colour. It's always, so we just have to look around the church here, look at the beautiful flowers that we have, the brilliant colours that we see in God's creation. It's quite a miracle. And there are quite a few mentions in the Bible of colours. We'll have a look at some of them. But before we do that, I thought I'd just talk a little bit about colour, what makes colour. And probably the first one that comes to mind when we think about where do we see colours in the Bible would be the rainbow, Noah's rainbow, that miracle that occurred after the first time the rainbow was seen, when Noah was and his family were saved by the flood, and God that put this rainbow in the sky. So I thought it'd be interesting just to look at what actually makes the rainbow. And we know that if we pass a pure source of white light through a prism, remarkable thing is that it divides into the colours of the rainbow, as we can see there in the picture. And the reason it does that is because that pure white light is actually made up of many colours, of seven colours. And those colours have a different frequency, which we can see represented in the diagram on the right-hand side there. And as they pass through this prism, they're bent. And because they have different frequencies, they get bent different amount. And so we see at the other side of the prism a rainbow. And it's the same sort of thing that's happening when we see a rainbow in the clouds. And we sort of gather from reading the Bible story that when Noah saw that rainbow in the sky, it was probably the first time that a rainbow had been seen on the earth. And we don't really know why that is. A lot of people think that perhaps prior to the flood, the earth was totally covered in cloud, producing a very tropical, humid environment underneath. And then when all that rain came down, then we had the clouds and this phenomenon of the rainbow appearing. Now, James spoke last week about this rainbow effect being seen when pure light is shone through the gemstones. And I've just borrowed his diagram from last week because he had 12 semi-precious stones. And each of those semi-precious stones are related to 12 of Abraham's children, the 12 tribes of Israel. And the interesting thing about them is that when pure light is passed through these gemstones, we get a beautiful display of rainbow colours. They light up like the rainbow. And the comment was made last week that that's really what we are aiming for, is to be like these gems, and when God's pure light passes through us, that we become beautiful like these gems and light up like a rainbow. Now, as I said, a lot of mentions in the Bible, and I don't want to go into too much detail on it, and I don't think it really matters to us to say this colour means such and such and this colour means something else. But we can notice when we see references that there is a bit of a trend. For example, blue is often representative of divinity and the law. When Moses was given the instructions about the clothing for the priests, he was told that they were to put a fringe on the borders of a rib band of blue. So the priests, and in fact all the generations of Israel, were to have this band of blue on their clothing, and that was to remind them of the law, remind them of God's commandments, and that they were to keep them. Of course, purple is one we see quite often in Judges. We see a mention of it, the purple raiment that the kings of Midian wore. And that was part of the payment that Gideon demanded of the Midianites. And of course, in Mark, in the Gospels, we know that when Jesus was brought before Pilate and tried, the soldiers mocked him and they clothed him with purple. So this purple is really symbolic of royalty, wealth, and power. Of course, in the case of Jesus, when they clothed him, they were mocking him by doing that to him. Another one that we see is scarlet or crimson. Different translations of the Bible have it rendered differently. Isaiah chapter 1, he says, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." So we can see in that case that it represents sin, this crimson and the scarlet. And it could also be wealth and luxury, because we see in Revelation 17, the mystery Babylon the Great, the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. So we have another symbol of a colour in the Bible. And of course, green, very prominent around us. And the 23rd Psalm comes to mind. It's really a symbol of peace. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." And it's interesting in Revelation 9, when the earth is being subject to all of the curses that are being brought on the earth, they're initially told not to hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing. So there's a symbol there of life and provision and peace that's represented by this colour of green. Now black, of course, when we think of black, we probably think of Satan. Also represents mourning, famine and judgment. In Lamentations, it talks about the destruction of Jerusalem and says their visage is blacker than coal. And in Jude verse 11, Jude is talking about people that follow after the manner of Cain and Balaam. And they're described as wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. So I guess black doesn't come into the rainbow. It's sort of the absence of colour, isn't it? It's spoken of as a colour, but it's really the absence of colour. And then finally we have gold, which we do associate with divinity once again, purity and kingship. And there's lots of mentions of that in the Bible. Exodus 25, when Moses is instructed to build the ark, and he's told that thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, within and without shalt thou overlay it, and make upon it a crown of gold round about. This divinity and this purity and kingship is often seen when we're looking at the colours of gold. In Revelation, the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And of course, we know from the Gospels, when the wise men came to visit Jesus, one of their gifts was gold. When they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. So we see lots of occurrences of colours throughout the Bible. The rainbow carries right through, but there are specific mentions of different colours. And as I said, it's probably not that important to say, well, we see green, it means peace. Or we see blue, it means the law and divinity. But it is interesting to see that there is a trend as we look through the Bible. So we'll read some of those references in more detail. But before we do that, I'd like to... Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. So I've got a few readings this morning which are picking out the stories behind those colours. And the first one I'd like to read is from the book of Genesis, the story of when Noah lands on the top of Mount Ararat and comes out and sees the rainbow, and how that first came about. Genesis 9. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, ye shall not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man. At the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For the image of God, in the image of God, made he man. And you, be ye fruitful, and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there be any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. So I think that's a pretty important reading to us, this covenant that God made with Noah. Noah's part to play was, be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. And God said he would not again destroy the earth by a flood. The token of the covenant, that rainbow, is particularly significant. And I think as Christians and as students of the Bible, we realize that this symbol of the rainbow was actually given to remind us of the covenant that God has made with us. I know it's been used in a lot of other ways ever since that time, But we would do well to remember that was the original symbol that was given to us, that rainbow. Now, the second reading that we have is from Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, and it's talking about Solomon building the house of the Lord. And we see in this section that reference to blue. And Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord and a house for his kingdom. Solomon told out 70,000 men to bear burdens, 40,000 to hew the mountain in the mountain, and 3,600 to oversee them. And Solomon sent to Huram, the king of Tyre, saying, "As thou didst deal with David my father, and didst send him cedars to build him an house to dwell therein, even so deal with me. Behold, I build a house to the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to him, and to burn before him sweet incense, and for the continual showbread, and for the burnt offerings, morning and evening, on the Sabbaths, and on the new moons, and on the solemn feasts of the Lord our God. This is an ordinance forever to Israel. And the house which I build is great, for great is our God above all gods. But who is able to build a house for him? Who is able to build him a house, seeing the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him? Who am I then that I should build him a house, save only to burn sacrifice before him?" So Solomon realized that God didn't really need a house, and it was really just for the benefit of man so that they had a place to worship him. Now, reference to the colors. "Send me thou therefore a man cunning to work in gold and in silver and in brass and iron and in purple and crimson and blue, and that can skill to grave with the cunning of men that are with me in Judah and in Jerusalem, whom David my father did provide." I might just skip down here. We've seen that those colours that are mentioned there are indicative of divinity. So we see the colours giving us a feeling, an idea of what Solomon's attitude was to God. Taking it up from verse 11, "Then Huram the king of Tyre answered in writing, which he sent to Solomon, 'Because the Lord hath loved his people, he hath made thee king over them.' Huram said, 'Moreover, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, that made heaven and earth, who hath given to David the king a wise son, endued with prudence and understanding, that might build an house for the Lord, and a house for his kingdom.'" Now, there are other references to the rainbow in the Bible. There's also a reference in Ezekiel when he sees a vision of the throne of God. So we'll just read a small snippet from there, Ezekiel 1, starting at verse 26 and going through to Ezekiel 2, verse 2. "And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw the colour of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God, the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. And he said unto me, 'Son of man, stand upon thy feet.' and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. So quite a remarkable vision that Ezekiel saw, and it's interesting to hear his description. He has trouble describing it. It's obviously out of this world, something he'd never seen, and it's just he's trying to find the words and the similarities so that he can describe what he's actually seeing in heaven. And our last reading comes from Revelation chapter 4, and we see a similar sort of vision here that John sees when he's given this revelation of the throne of God. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, it, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne there were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. I'll just go down to the end of verse 8. And they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God, Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honour and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth for ever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth for ever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now you've been listening for a while, so let's wake everyone up and have a hymn number 23, talking about Solomon and Jesus and Israel. Not Solomon upon his throne, whose glories still proverbial stand, could vie with flowers when fully blown, which spot the verdure over the land. that was a pretty good hymn, I think, to touch on most of the readings that we did. It talks about Solomon, it talks about Israel and the glory that was given to them, and it talks about the glory that will occur at the end times when we get to see the throne of God, as Ezekiel did and as John did. So the colours in the Bible, we see them here and there. They're not explicitly defined as being relating to one thing or another. But as we have read, we do see that God has given particular colours when there is some event or situation or purpose that is to be portrayed. And it's quite common in our knowledge and our lives to think of emotions or purposes related to colours. Interesting that we often hear the term green with envy, and yet in the Bible it's, as we read, green is often used to represent peace, and crimson, red with rage, black with rage, even worse. I think the blue, relating to divinity, the blue sky, when we have the privilege of seeing it, is certainly overarching. It certainly gives us an idea of the omnipotence of God, his complete coverage of us and his creation. It's quite a remarkable thing, this miracle of colours that God has created. And as I said, it's very significant that he used this symbol of the rainbow to represent his covenant with us, that covenant that he made with Noah and his family and all the animals that were on the earth, that he would not destroy the earth again with the flood. Of course, when we read Revelation, we see that there is going to be great destruction, not by flood, but it would seem by fire. Noah was preserved. Him and his family were protected from the flood in the ark. We see that preservation of their physical life by trusting in God, doing as they were instructed to do. And then we get that covenant that they had done the right thing, the covenant that God makes with them. Your job, replenish the earth, keep my commands, subdue it, subdue the evil in the earth. And God's part was that he would not destroy the earth again with flood. So the rainbow was a symbol of that covenant. Now, we didn't read specifically about the covenant that God made with Abraham and with Israel. We know that Abraham was given a blessing, a specific blessing that was to be applied to his seed. And he was told that through him, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Sorry. And it's interesting that we saw those gemstones, and the gemstones were representative of the 12 tribes of Israel. The covenant was made with Israel, and again, we have this symbol of the rainbow coming out, that when pure light passes through those gemstones, we see a beautiful rainbow. Once again, that symbol from God of the rainbow representing a covenant with him. And so when we go through to Revelation and we go look at Ezekiel and his vision that he saw of the throne, it was so brilliant. He had a lot of trouble describing it. Prior to that vision of the throne, we see earlier in that chapter, he's trying to describe the angels, and it's really hard for us to get an idea of what it really looks like. He's saying it was like this, it was like that. There's nothing that was on the earth that he could actually use to describe what he was seeing. But in that occasion, he did say clearly that above the throne was a bow, once again, like the rainbow, the multicolored rainbow. So obviously that is a symbol that follows God wherever God is. We see that rainbow, just as John saw it in the book of Revelation, when he saw the vision of the throne of God. He saw this rainbow above the throne, specifically mentioned as a rainbow in that case, because I guess by that stage people identified it as being associated with rain. And so as Israel were given this covenant with God, that applies to all of the generations of Israel. Just as the covenant with Noah applied to the whole of the earth, the covenant that was made with Israel applies to all the generations of Israel, all the descendants of Israel. And to be quite honest, we don't know who they are. Because when we look at the history of the nation of Israel, we saw that it was set up, and in the time of Solomon, it was flourishing, probably reached its pinnacle. But then it went downhill over a period of hundreds of years. It was totally broken down and destroyed. But God has said that he's made that covenant with those people of Israel. And he also said through Abraham that the whole world would be blessed. And we know that that happened when Jesus Christ came to the earth, God's Son, and gave his life for our sins, to redeem us from the curse that we're under, so that we are able to be part of God's kingdom if we accept Jesus Christ, if we confess that he is the Son of God and that he died, gave his life for our sins. And believe in our hearts, then we are saved. Our souls are saved. But in the same way that Noah's family was physically saved, not spiritually saved, not their souls saved, but their bodies was preserved when the whole world was destroyed. And that promise is made to Israel as well. And again, signified by the rainbow, the colours of the rainbow, reflecting off those gemstones, that there was a promise that there would be a seed preserved physically alive. As part of the community of the whole world in accepting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we are saved spiritually. We can be part of God's family, part of his kingdom. But that further promise to Israel, and of course their part of the deal was that they were to keep the commandments of God. So if we accept that sacrifice of Jesus and we keep the commandments of God, then if we are chosen and we are here on the earth when Jesus returns and ready to be part of his kingdom, then that is our prayer, that we would receive that salvation physically, that we can be part of that covenant that God made with us, with mankind, He wants us to step forward and make that covenant with him, make that commitment to keep his laws and commands. And the reflection in the gemstones again indicates that that is a symbol of that covenant. And when we get to that point where the throne of God is revealed, we will see that rainbow over the throne of God again. So with that, I think we'll finish with another hymn today. Quite a cheerful one. Come, let us join our cheerful songs. Hymn number 119. Come, let us join our cheerful songs with angels round the throne. 10,000,000 are their tongues, but all their joys are one. Favourite hymns, and it certainly gives us a feeling of what it will be like at the end time when the throne of God is revealed and we get that opportunity to praise him and sing to him. So I'd like to leave that verse from Psalm 23 with you today. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. So that concludes our service today. I think that I should say that next week the whole of Terrigal Church will be going to a retreat, to a camp. So we won't be having a service here in the church next weekend. We will put a sign at the front, but just so everyone knows and doesn't turn up and wonders where we all are. Something we've been working towards for quite a few months now and looking forward to. Certainly the children are all looking forward to a camp, a weekend of opportunity to get together and learn about God and praise Him. So thank you for coming this morning, everyone, and for the listeners out in Zoom land. I hope everyone has a good week, and we may not see you next week, but certainly the week after. Thanks.